We've been speaking with David Matney, who is a longtime attorney involved in the area of real estate, business law, planning, zoning, land use issues. We've been talking about settlement statements and some of the things that kind of befuddle people when they sit down at the closing table. Before the break, David, we were talking about discount points and origination fees and so on, which kind of segues in my mind into something called yield spread. Now, that's not a term that people typically hear at the dinner table, but they're likely to see that on their settlement statement. So if you would, just try to explain how that impacts a borrower and what it is that they should be paying attention to.
Yield spread is basically that you are borrowing money from lender A, and you're paying lender A some origination fee, which will include what the discount points that may be talked about, and that then that lender is going to pay some money back to your broker. And that is a yield spread. And what it means is if your bank is willing to make a zero discount point in the way we used to talk about it, $100,000 loan at 6%, and they pay a yield spread back to your broker of $1,000, that means they would be willing to have made a lower interest rate because they're losing that $1,000. So you, in effect, are paying a higher interest rate by paying the yield spread.
The higher interest rate allows them to sell the loan at a higher value, higher than what the face amount of the loan is, and then there's money to be shared, basically,
yes.
Right? So what can a buyer or a borrower do, or is it just the way, is that the meal that the borrower has to eat?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Now, initially when yield spreads came out, they were totally opaque. Nobody, the borrower never saw them, the attorney never saw them. We didn't know they were there. Then they began disclosing them somewhat in some lenders. Now, under the new good faith estimate, what you will see is your total charges. It's just shown as a charge, origination charge, and your total credit charges, and they refer to it as the good faith estimate says credit or charge points. That will include the yield spread. Then another line down, you get a credit for the yield spread. So you will be seeing now in your good faith estimate how much your broker is getting. Brokers aren't real wild about this, needless to say.
Yeah.
But it's showing what your total charges are and then what you're getting credit for because it's going to the buyer.
So if the broker is charging a 1% origination point or 1% fee, and there's yield spread, does the yield spread get backed out? I mean, does it get offset in some fashion, or is it just disclosed and they get paid twice, basically?
No, they don't get paid but once. But what we'll show is your charge, using our example, it's a $1,000 origination fee and a $1,500 yield spread. You're going to be shown that your, and no discount points, that mm-hmm. your charges are $2,500, but you get a credit for the $1,500 because that's going to be paid by somebody else. In some sense, you're paying it back in your monthly payments,
mm-hmm.
but up front, you're not paying it. You're
right.
paying it by higher interest, so you
yeah,
are
it's
paying
in your
it.
APR rate.
Yes, so you're paying it over every monthly that you make interest payments, mm-hmm. you're paying that extra $1,500.
Right. Yeah.
And you had no idea that it was costing you that before. Now, in the good faith estimate, you will see it. It's not on your closing statement because you're not paying it.
Can it be negotiated away? I mean, it's in the borrower's interest to not have it appear and to get sharper pricing on the loan terms, right?
It's going to boil down to the market. If it's like, by analogy, real estate commissions, you don't get those negotiated down much because that's what the market is. If every broker is charging a yield spread and this is what it is, you may not be able to negotiate. In a time when there are more brokers and bankers than there may be borrowers, borrowers have negotiating
right.
power, and it's a market
right.
position. Plus, you may actually it's possible for a buyer to come out ahead because this broker may have contacts with lenders that you can't find.
Right.
So you're paying, even though it's
like
in
a
yield spread, it's like
yeah.
a finder's fee.
Yeah.
It's for if every local bank is at 6% and they know somebody who's 5.5%, you're coming out ahead even by paying them the yield spread. And that requires some sophistication in looking and seeing what's available here and then what can they find for you and can they find better.
Right. I've been speaking with David Matney, who practices out of the Jackson Building, which is, I believe it's the oldest high-rise in the southeastern United States, if that's...
I believe that. So. It,
yeah.
was built as a skyscraper in
yeah.
the 20s.
It kind of shows its age in certain areas.
But
anyway,
it does have gargoyles at the top.
That's right. Give David a call at 258-3395 if you have any questions for him. David, when it comes to title insurance, explain what title insurance is, why it's necessary, and from what I know about it, I think it's the only type of insurance that insures against a contingency that may have already occurred. Every other kind of insurance that I can think of insures against some future contingency. Is that right?
Yes, although there are certain forward things that it does cover that relate back.
Mm-hmm. So what is it insuring against?
All right. For example, when I do a title search, we're looking at what's in the public record, what's been recorded in the Registered Deeds Office. Mm-hmm. I have no way of knowing if a signature is a forgery. So title insurance is ensuring that that is in fact true, that that is...
Okay, so someone could come out of the woodwork and say that was
right.
Not me.
Or there's an estate file that says Mr. Smith had three children and they all signed. Turns out Mr. Smith had a fourth child that he didn't bother tell anybody about who shows up out of the woodwork and they have an interest.
I see.
Plus, people make mistakes. We miss something in a title search. Title insurance will insure over that. And one of the biggest things that it covers is mechanics liens, mm-hmm. and that's where they're kind of relating back. If someone has done work on a property and they have 120 days after the last day they did work to file a lien that relates back to the first day they did work.
Mm-hmm.
So before closing, there can have been repair work done on the property. The seller doesn't pay them. You close, and within 120 days of the day they did work, they can file a lien, and it's ahead of your deed.
Right. It has superiority.
Yes.
So you're going to either make sure, it's going to be in your interest as the attorney, the closing agent, to make sure that that lien has been satisfied, or to the extent that it hasn't, that's what the insurance is for.
Well, if there are liens that are out there, yes, we make sure they're satisfied. There's no way that I, as a closing attorney, can know what has been done. We do have affidavits signed by the seller, and then the title insurance will issue insurance based upon that affidavit. The title insurance will pay off the lien, and if it comes up, they'll sue the seller.
Do you ever have anyone go to closing where they don't buy the title insurance? Does that happen?
Occasionally, we always recommend that you get it.
Right, right. Okay. You've been listening to David Matney, who practices out of the Jackson Building in downtown Asheville, general maven of all issues concerning real estate. Give him a call at 258-3395. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ, WWNC, the Talk of the Mountains. We'll be back in just a moment.